This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
So, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Here and everywhere. Oh, and welcome, good friends. One of our ancestors, Chinese Zen ancestor Huineng, always addressed any gathering of people interested in the Dharma with good friends. And I just really feel that that's a wonderful thing. It describes us all who are here, whether for first-time curiosity or dedication to this way of being humans in the world. We are all good friends, and we know that in a certain way, but it's good to say that. It's good to say that formally. Good friends, whether we know each other or not, that's not even the, that's a one level we know each other of, if we think about, well, I don't really know you, so maybe you're not my good friend, but we're all here together, exploring this path of Buddha Dharma, the way of the Dharma. The way Dharma is one of those words that has many, many meanings. The way of reality, the way of truth. In one of the earliest poems in the Shakyamuni Buddha written forms, the Dhammapada, the way of the Dhamma, or the Dharma in Sanskrit, he expresses that. Supposedly, these are the words of Shakyamuni Buddha very beautifully. And he describes one of the, at the very beginning, one of the key markers of the way of the Dharma, one of those kind of milestones along the path, those cairns that we look for when we're out hiking to mark the way. He says, hate in one translation, hatred never causes hatred to cease. It is only love that causes hatred to cease. And that is the way, eternal and inexhaustible. So that's what, whether we know it or not, at whatever level, and whether we remember it or not, but we're all here because that says something to us, that and many other things, just sitting itself in this practice of Zazen, Shiken Taza, just sitting itself, quieting ourselves, letting our natural love, good, if you will, arise, which it does by itself, simply by sitting. That's really a miracle, I think, a miracle mystery even. Like, how does that happen? Well, we don't know, but maybe we could try to look at it neurologically, and that's interesting, but only to a certain level. The most important thing is that we, each of us, experience that. And not only us, as Dogen Zenji reminds us so beautifully in all of many, many of his teachings and talks, everyone experiences it. Everyone has this quality to every sentient being, but even Dogen, wonderful, insightful being that he was, sees even beyond the sentient beings to the rocks and the trees. But certainly if we have four-footed friends, particularly cats and dogs, we know that they like to sit with us. We know that they like to sit down and they have their own forms of zazen as well. But when we're doing zazen, they often come and join us when they get used to our doing that every morning or every morning and every evening, they show up with us. So today I'd like to discuss with you, that's another wonderful example that Huineng gave us, discussions. So I'm here now in this role position to say a few words to sort of begin things, because sometimes after sitting we get quiet and then we're reluctant to speak. Sometimes it's like a little much to break the beautiful silence, but our life is composed of silence and talking and being with others. So we're not always in this place facing the wall. Maybe mostly we're not, for many of us. So it's good to speak and to share the Dharma and whatever is up for us in our own heart minds, in our own completely whole heart mind body, which Shakyamuni Buddha said that's all we need, just this body with its senses, the six senses, which we chanted in the Heart Sutra. So I'm going to talk a bit about something that's been really occurring to me a lot lately and over a period of a few weeks, and I've reflected on this, and that's gravity, subject of gravity. And what a gift that gravity is to us. We live in this field that that allows our life to go on, the gravitational field. And I'm not well versed in physics. I sort of like to dabble in reading physics, but so don't, if you're a physicist or even any kind of a technical person, my definition of a gravitational field may not be the absolute one, but we're all subject to the gravitational field, and everything in this earth is on this earth and surrounding around it until we get to the outer space place. So we, what does that mean, being subject to gravity? I mean, in one way, I think it means that gravity keeps us upright so that we actually can use gravity to sit for long periods of time, much longer than 40 minutes. I mean, when you do a long retreat or retreat periods together, then you can sit for a long time. And Dogen Zenji particularly emphasized this and brought it to us in so many ways of just sitting and what that just sitting and the posture of just sitting. So that's really important in this particular practice, how we sit. We sit in alignment with this large gravitational force, and that's why we put so much emphasis on our posture. So gravity helps keep us upright, and it also helps keep us down and grounded, because otherwise we'd just be tethered up there in space like the astronauts who can't stay up there that long. So regardless of any sci-fi kind of fantasies we might have of colonizing other planets or being able to, there's still going to be the gravitational force to be reckoned with. Because we are built to live in that force and to, in our practice beyond beyond ordinary beings, being ordinary beings, but also knowing and trusting something that is difficult to explain. It's mystery of love being the force. that changes everything, including hatred. Because that isn't so obvious and so apparent in the world we live in. Gravity keeps us grounded. That's my favorite mudra of Shakyamuni Buddha. He was tempted many times by the devil figure in Buddhism, Mara, who came with all sorts of talk, like when we talk and put ourselves down, that kind of talk, and also exterior temptations, if you will. And Mara at one point asked, well, what right do you have to just sit there and think that you know something and that you can talk about something and you can embody something and be something in this world? And Buddha just put his right hand and put it right on the ground. This, the earth mudra, this is what gives me, this is how I know. So we keep grounded and we keep upright. These teachings are very early in Shakyamuni Buddha's time. And there's, I'd say, a couple of references without getting too detailed, because in the early texts, the suttas in the Pali language, and then sutras in Sanskrit. So those early texts, there are a couple, particularly the Satipatthana Sutta, which talks about the four postures and many other things, but the four postures of sitting, standing, walking, and lying down. So in all of those postures, we can meditate. And this sitting posture is the most conducive and the most direct. And in a certain way, in my experience, the simplest to maintain for long periods of time, whether that's in one block of a day or over years or months. Because lying down, it takes a lot of increasing concentration to not fall asleep with that one. And standing also can be a very powerful practice once you get used to it. And also walking, which we do a form of. Kinhin, that mindful concentration together. So all of these are subject to gravity. And then in another sutra, the elephant's footprint, again, many things are discussed, but the elements are discussed. So earth, air, fire, water, and space. And those also, there are allusions in that sutta to how each of those has its manifestation. Each of those appears within gravity. That's how we know it. So staying upright, we experience of air, for example, the lightness and the density and the expansion and movement of air just by breathing. And by our breathing is part of lives within this field of gravity. And likewise for all the other elements. So on the elements, Shakyamuni Buddha gave several talks, and I think for me, the two points that I remember and think are important are two. And we are not one fixed body thing. We are not one self that we think we are. We actually can't be separated from all the elements. All of the elements are within us and surround us at all times. And we can recognize that those elements are always changing. The way that we breathe, the way that the air is, And likewise, we can recognize further that we are always changing. So when we're aware, the second thing that I think Shakyamuni Buddha pointed to, when we're aware of those two things, we are always made up of elements. They are part of us within and without. We cannot be separated, and they're always changing. Then the second thing is, we realize within this field how much choice we have. We can make choices to enact and to embody what we all are recognizing and why we're here, that we are, that we affect the world, and therefore we can tune into what wisdom and compassion are directly by the way that we move in the world, by what we speak and what we say in the world, what we don't say. So Dogen, because Dogen was wonderfully well-schooled in the early Buddhist teachings, he takes up this theme of relation and self and not self in his own way, with wonderful koans and talks and paradoxes, mysteries, languages. He invites us to be filled with the wonder of this, of our life, and our individual knowing of the essential way to live in this world, and to realize for ourselves this mystery is embodied. It's physical and elemental, and it's also something more than that. That's the hard part to talk about, but we can talk about all the things that surround it, which is our life, our daily lives, all the people we interact with, our societies and cultures and everything. It's all our life. So a really wonderful teaching of his, I think, is to look at for seeing how these things work closely in gravity, and the mysteries and the paradoxes of it, is the Mountains and Waters Sutra. So and of course, remembering this is remembering that there are other paths for other people. And so we are not separate from those either. We are individuals, and so we do have the choice, and we choose our path. But that doesn't mean other paths aren't equally wonderful and in alignment with what we do. So Dogen, I have a couple of transcriptions of his. Dogen points out that even the mountains walk. Even granite has some carbon, actually, but he didn't say that directly, but he says, don't doubt the walking of mountains just because it doesn't look like the walking of human beings. If one knew one's own walking, one would know the walking of mountains. So just walking, when we walk, really walk in Qing Yin, feeling the mountains moving too. So when we walk outside or inside in Qing Yin, we feel the earth, the movement of the body, if we're walking outside and it's hot, the sweat air, the sweat and our and the water element, sweat coming out of us, drying on our skin. And we know this not through the words of Dogen or Shakyamuni Buddha, but through our own direct experience. Dogen, above all waters are all mountains. Walking beyond and walking within are both done on water. All mountains walk with their toes on all waters and splash there. This is practice realization. I love that little section because it's it brings up for me anyway what we do when we're children and just splash through the water. We love to just walk through and splash. That's built into us. So that kind of joyful element, which Dogen points out more directly in the ease, as the ease and joy of Zazen, recommended to all people. We find ease and joy by being in alignment with gravity. And then the body pains may come and go, but there's something else deeper that's going on. So as I said, there are many ways to look at this, and I'd like to hear your ways of looking at whatever has come up for you this morning, or perhaps something that you brought with you in your life. So I'd like to just allude briefly to two poets, because one's a 20th century poet, American Lee Young Lee, immigrant, Chinese parents, and the other is Rilke, the German poet of the early 20th century. Because there are so many ways to be in and embody this world, and each of us is individual and has our own way that's in consonant, that's in cooperation, co-creating all the other ways. So Rilke says, "How surely gravity's law, strong as an ocean current, takes hold of even the smallest thing and pulls it toward the heart of the world. Each thing, each stone, blossom, child, is held in place. Only we, in our arrogance, push out beyond what we each belong to for some empty idea of freedom. If we surrendered to Earth's intelligence, we could rise up rooted like trees. Instead, we can entangle ourselves in knots of our own making and struggle lonely and confused. So like children, we begin again to learn from the things, because they are in God's heart. They have never left. This is what the things can teach us: to fall, patiently to trust our heaviness. Even a bird has to do that before he can fly." So that poem reminded me of one by Lee Young Lee, which is called One Heart. One Heart. "Look at the birds. Even flying is born out of nothing. The first sky is inside you, open at either end of the day. The work of wings was always freedom, fastening one heart to every falling thing." So I thank you very much for your attention, and I very much look forward to our discussion. Thank you. Yes?
I have a thought this morning when I was meditating, I felt like for the first time, we look up to the heavens and we look down in our teachings from cultural differences that hell is below us and heaven is above us. And for the first time in my life today, I felt like there was a light below us. And I felt like that was different. Like, why are we always looking above for enlightenment and the bad is below us? But I felt before you started speaking that maybe the beauty is below us, is part of this earth. And then you talk about gravity holding us to the earth. I don't know, it's really interesting.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you. What you shared is so beautiful. I have a little thought about it. I hope you'll accept that. It's that there is so much below us as people are discovering more and more. It's the biome, what lives beneath the earth and the first even 2 or 3 meters. And then what's below that? That's all part of gravity too, the molten core, everything. So that was your individual intuition. Thank you so much for sharing. Yes, in the back.
So I have recently started meditating, like not that new, but from pandemic. And in my experience, I've noticed that it's not always the same. Like some days you feel really great about like doing the meditation. Sometimes you feel a little off, distracted, about other things. So what can we do to not have that and always have that same experience, which is great?
Okay, well, that's a really good question. the short answer, I guess, there's really no answer, but the short answer is like every experience is an enlightening possibility. Distraction doesn't have to be distraction even. It's the way we have the habit of looking at things. And cultivating just by sitting. So that in itself is a cultivation. Or if you're standing or walking, when you make the intention and come to practice and say, this is what I'm doing now, I'm not just standing waiting in line somewhere or sitting somewhere waiting for something, but I am focusing on meditation, then every experience is an open door to really seeing the mountains walk and splash in the water, if you will. So thank you. There's Karen online.
Hi, Carolyn. Thank you. Thanks for bringing up gravity as a gift. And
I don't know if it's not working.
Can you hear me?
Wait a second.
We're doing a little technical adjustment for the sound here.
Oh,
Oh, I can talk louder.
That would be helpful too. Thank you.
What did I do?
I have to have more confidence in my words, I guess.
Yeah.
What I'm wondering is, you mentioned gravity before, and it was very thoughtful, and I'm still thinking about, you know, what if gravity is almost the gift that, you know, allows us to sit, it is allows us to sink into the heart of the earth, then what is the work that we must do to keep, you know, to counter gravity, basically, to live? I'm kind of thinking of it as like, if we don't do work on Earth, you know, and make sure that our circulation system is strong enough to push blood back up to our heads, if we don't work to be on the earth as humans, and all we do is sit, we will just like, you know, we would just like sink into the earth. And in other words, the balance is so important. And of course, we're always talking about both sides of our practice on the cushion and getting up and serving and being. Anyway, with your poetic mind, I was hoping you would help me out with the other side.
Thank you, Judy.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We'd have to come up with some new Zen terms for the people who do. It's gone on long enough in the pandemic, and now we're hybridized. So we need to have the people who do the computer work come up with a term. And there may be a term that's applicable already. I'm not such a scholar, so I don't know.
May I suggest techno-monk?
Techno-monk. Okay. There we have one idea. So, Karen, I think it's a bit, this isn't so poetic, perhaps, but it is a bit about language and reframing what we think of as work. Where is the bringing this is our birthright, just as in the Buddhist teachings say, our birthright is knowing and trusting the way of the Dharma, Buddha Dharma. We have evolved to be completely in sync with gravity. That is our evolutionary heritage. It was a long, slow process. And I don't think even this century and a half, perhaps, or you could say longer, 2-3 centuries of the Industrial Revolution, where our bodies took on different roles and different positions, and therefore we don't use our bodies in the same way. But that it's all, we don't have to work to get our blood circulating and all of that. We just have to, maybe we have to be aware of how much we're spending time on devices and that kind of work, so that we're always sitting, but not, you can sit in a completely gravitationally aligned posture, which is basically Zazen posture, in a chair when you're at your desk, for example. Cars are harder. The way chairs are designed ergonomically is not good. So we do have to make that kind of work, but it's not like we have to be, it's awareness work, in other words. Simply, it's awareness work, including about, we don't have to reinvent ourselves. We're already there. You know, and each of us may have physical limitations, so we may, but we're very adaptable in ways. Many Buddhist stories of those who didn't have stories, but who came crawling to Buddha because they couldn't walk. They, for whatever genetic or accident in life, they no longer had lower legs. But, you know, but they knew and trusted something within. So I don't know if that addressed your question in any way, but I know that you continue on, and thank you. Ninsen.
Thank you, Carolyn, for the talk. You've mentioned this returning childhood, Rilke does as well, and gravity. I'm kind of laughing because every year I get older and noticing gravity on my body. And also, you know, the Dharma Gate of Joinees, my experience is that it returns me to this kind of innocence after all this life experience, right? I returned to some innocence kind of with experience in it. And in that, I wouldn't even call it a place, but in that awareness, things seem edgeless. And I don't feel gravity. You know, it's like being a very, very young person starting anew. And so I'm wondering about gravity there and this experience of, I want to call it innocence after experience.
Thank you, Pamela. So it's a great question after Karin's, particularly because it's not that. First of all, thank you for sharing this experience that you have of that is what our sitting practice does, return us to our basic trust that we have and experience of innocence. But I do really like the language that you put on that, the innocence and experience. That's poetic Blakean. But it's not that we have to experience gravity all the time, and that not that we do. Even in our, when we're walking, we're not always aware of it. It's just can be helpful to so that we increase our awareness for choices, especially if we feel ungrounded or destabilized by our experiences. But it is a natural part of us to forget that we are. Because it's built in, just like we'd forget that what Karin pointed out, like, well, how are we going to get the blood to our heads? The blood does its, you know, we keep circulating. We are made to function in a certain way with all the systems that the autonomic systems that we do not have to think about. And we are blessed with a little moisture. I didn't get to talking about the water element, but I just noticed that we have some water with us today. Wonderful. So so mainly two things. Thank you for sharing that those come together, and that gravity, that we don't have to hold on to it, or any of these are just practice helps. That's why just maybe for some. Thank you.
Child comes back around, and we can't handle it so much anymore. And at the, like, the end of the day, I get tired because I work a lot with gravity and build buildings. And at the end of the day, my body's tired and my head is heavy. And at the end of our lives, we go back to this sort of situation. So it's when you hurt yourself, physically reminded, very painfully sometimes, that this is a miraculous, unexplicable event that we live in. And sitting, like as you pointed out, I guess underscoring that, they really get to be with it a little more deeply than normal. I just needed to say something.
Well, you said something very wonderful. Thank you very much. And thank you for sharing that about children. That I'm glad you articulated that. It crossed my mind and then I didn't get to that point or forgot it. You know, but yeah, we have to learn, and in a way that's in a way with sitting too, with this practice of understanding who we are. It takes some maturity. We don't just, well, there are probably rare exceptions. There are probably some people who do just sit down and get it. Certainly that's not the stories that are told in Buddha Dharma. It took people a while, including, you know, they had to work at it. No, just to kind of to realize that they were just awake. Buddha, awake. Bodhi, awake. So, and the children, beautiful, beautiful story. And yeah, how we have to learn to connect with this. Thank you. Well, we can, it's just about time for the bell to ring for lunch. So, and we, here in this practice, we pay a great deal of attention and thank our cook, our Tenzo, who takes care of this physical body that allows us to be in gravity. And so we can just finish quietly with our chants.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.